Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wagner.
We have a somber show in some ways for you today.
Fantastic,
but it's going to be good anyway.
Yeah.
Somber is okay. That doesn't mean it's
not good.
And
why is it going to be somber?
It's going to be somber because, well, it's my last show on Cloud Cover. Wade finally realized that I've just been dragging the show down. And so he...
Our ratings have been going down ever since
we
started.
Made a tough call, and he gave me the pink slip. And so so I'm out.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a little bit last week. Steve's going to go on and pursue some of his interests. I think gives him a lot more time to play poker. He's going to go professional juggling, a lot of those things. So it'll be good.
Poker juggling. I combine
And we know you're a yodeler.
New sport. That's right. Yep.
You're a yodeler.
We have evidence of that.
So, well, we've got some good stuff to cover today. Steve, I mean, as you can imagine, Steve's been with Windows Azure since the very beginning, before
Four
it was
and
even
a half
announced
years or so.
In 2008. So, and over that time, we've put together a lot of really good demos. So we thought what we would do is go through some of the demos that Steve has created over time. And you know, a lot of these things you've open sourced as well, so people can get to it. So it'll be a good opportunity to kind of say goodbye through and look at the lasting impact you've had through these demos. So.
Don't judge me based on the lasting impact of these demos, but yeah.
Especially
yeah.
a couple of them.
Yeah, some of them are not really. Anyway,
well,
we'll get to those.
Let's
but
start,
we'll get
start with the news. So.
And we are going to have a tip at the end, too.
Yes.
I mean, just, you know.
Normal show.
Look, it's a normal show.
But just somber.
Just somber. Yep. That's the word of the day.
So, we've got there's actually, Peter put together a really nice blog post that covers resources for Node.js and Windows Azure. And you probably reviewed some of these. What he's done that's particularly nice here is he's pulled them all together and organized them into a consolidated post. So everything from taking a look at the resources that are available on the Developer Center up in WindowsAzure.com to summarizing the Cloud9 announcement. So this is the Cloud9 IDE that's available through browser that you can use to push directly to Windows Azure. Scott Guthrie showed some of this at the Cloud Summit, the Node Summit. Yeah, it's very
like
cool.
Like just from the browser, you know, the IDE and the publish and whatever. It's a neat flow.
MongoDB, so some of the resources available for MongoDB along with Node.
Yep. And MongoDB isn't just for Node in Windows Azure. Like there was some work to make MongoDB in Windows Azure just work really well, easy to set up and run and do all the right replication and handle topology changes and stuff like that. And then one way you could do that is from Node, but there's also there's some examples of doing it from C Sharp and whatever. So a lot of people have kind of, I think, skipped that because MongoDB, we've really talked about it mostly about
with Node
because a lot of people doing Node want MongoDB, and so that comes together. But you can use it from other, from C Sharp, from your ASP.NET app, whatever you want.
Yep. So just going through it, some IIS, Node, other resources. So good post. So if you want to, if you want a good landing spot to get some information here, this is a good post with some good information. Mr. Nathan Totten.
This guy, people should know him by now.
Yeah. So he's one of the evangelists on the team. He's been working around social games quite a bit, and one of the things he's done is not only provided another update to the social gaming toolkit, but we've also moved it over to GitHub. And kind of quickly explain why. One of the things that we want to do moving forward with this toolkit is really get some active community involvement. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of success with using GitHub as a way to let people clone the repo, make a whole bunch of changes, updates, bug fixes, you name it, whatever it might be, and then initiate a pull request back. And we've seen that successful with the iOS toolkit. I mean, we're doing it with some of the SDKs now, some of the libraries for under the Windows Azure organization. And so we're doing the same thing with the social gaming toolkit. So it's up on GitHub now. Go take a look at it if you haven't. I think, let's see, he has a link somewhere, I hope, here. Probably right here. So, and as part of this as well, he's put all the documentation up for getting started, converted it into Markdown, and put it up in the wiki. So,
cool.
Nice update. So,
you may notice the shirt that I'm wearing.
Yes.
This is Wordament. I'm a big fan of Wordament. For those of you who don't know, it's a game on Windows Phone. and it's basically, will I get them in trouble if I say it's basically Boggle? But so it's, you know,
it's like Boggle.
It's a word game. It's a grid of letters, and you find words that are sort of connected through that. And the cool part about it is you play against everyone who's playing, right? The game lasts
only one game at a time.
2 minutes, and everyone's playing the same game, and then there's a 30-second break for you to look at your scores or whatever, and then there's another two-minute game. So you're always being ranked against everybody who's playing right then. It's loads of fun. Yeah. I'm very addicted to this game.
And it's worth pointing out, there's also a concept of frenemies. So you can you can associate people you know, and they're your friend, but they're also your enemy.
Sometimes they're just enemies.
Just
but
enemies, yeah.
So
you're my frenemy, and what's frustrating is I'll go to play, and invariably you're on playing.
Yeah, because
you know,
I
that's
play
all
pretty
you
much all the time. That's actually what I'm going to do full-time after this.
A professional professional
just play Wordament. Yeah, it doesn't pay well, or at all, but I'm going to do it because it's my dream.
At any rate, you're invariably in the top five.
Yeah.
So you're quite a good player.
It's frustrating for everyone who knows me. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so, but all of that was basically to point out, so this aspect of it where you're playing against everyone on the internet produces this funny kind of traffic pattern where, like, every 2 minutes, all of a sudden, everybody who's playing is trying to submit a score, get the high score list, get the next puzzle so that they can play the next round, etc. And so they've got this, like, bursty workload. It's all, you know, backed by servers in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It was running on Google App Engine.
Yep.
The team who's doing Wordament decided, for a variety of reasons, you can read a little bit about, they actually talked a little bit about why they made the move, but they were interested in moving off of that and onto Windows Azure. I helped them. You helped them too, actually. Yeah, a few of us have kind of given some technical help for them. And they are now 100% on Windows Azure, and actually have been for a few weeks already.
Yeah.
But
this is a little bit older news,
but
we figured.
So it's cool. So the post, I mean, the reason to kind of go read this is that they talked a little bit about why they moved to Windows Azure. I should note, they say it here too, but they are Microsoft employees, so, you know, if you want to read something into that, okay. But they were also Microsoft employees when they ran on Google App Engine.
Correct.
And so I think they actually made an independent, you know, a decision that was just based on what they wanted to do with, mm-hmm. with their technology. So I don't think they're hugely biased here, but they do work for Microsoft. But the post goes through kind of why they made the move. It also talks about some features that they turned on since that they can now do because of how they use Windows Azure and table storage and things like that. So it's kind of neat if you just want a kind of testimonial about what they did. And those guys are they're friendly guys and eager to talk and whatever. And so if you have questions about what they did, I'm sure you could shoot them an email or tweet to them and they'd tell you more about it.
Great.
So. It's cool.
Cool.
As I said when it happened, it's combining two things I really love, Wordament and Windows Azure. Pretty much anything that starts with a W, I'm a fan of.
Wade.
It's actually Wade.
All right.
That worked great.
Cool. All right, so before we get to our feature, which is really you this week, one of the things that we wanted to do is remember all the great moments with you and Cloud Cover. And so
this sounds like a setup.
Yeah. So with Bob, Bob and I have been working, and we put together a tribute to you and your time with Windows Azure and with Cloud Cover, and let's just take a look at that tribute. So, without any further ado, here's the tribute to Steve Marks.
Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Steve Marks.
My name's Wade Wagner.
My name is Steve Marks.
My name is Steve Marks.
Steve Marks.
It's Ryan Dunn.
Steve Marks.
It's Ryan Dunn.
Steve Marks.
And I'm Steve Marks.
Steve Marks. Steve Marks.
Steve Marks.
And I'm Brett.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. My name's Steve Marks, and I'd like to welcome you to a very special episode of Cloud Cover.
Good memories to you.
wish you well. Take it slow, easy come, go, easy go.
Look, I know how to do it. I thought I could do your job, but I couldn't.
You should actually watch the show once in a while.
Here, it's not that good of a show.
The internet's down.
This is why we don't touch that equipment, Steve.
Oh, wow, the reboot worked.
Okay.
All right.
You can say action while I'm still, like, I'm... yes, yes. How does this work, this profile? This is magic. We should have Ludacris on the show.
I mean, who wouldn't watch that?
I don't even know who that is. So.
You don't know who Katy Perry is.
Is that a euphemism for number two? Like, I gotta go make some disk space.
Gotta drop off some bites.
Are we already recording?
Yes.
Do we have footage of me going, is that a euphemism for number two?
Yes.
All right, tip of the week.
All right, that was... I'm a little emotional. It's been a good run.
If so. I had any idea what the content of that clip is that everyone just saw, I would also be emotional.
All right.
Hopefully it was mostly good. So...
Let's take a look at some of the stuff that you
sure. What do we got? We got some things queued up.
Yeah.
This one's kind of neat. I think we mentioned this on the show right after. It's the Devox... Is it Devox? Devox?
I've said Devox, but probably wrong.
You'd think like the dev might be for developers, and so maybe DevOps. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever it's called, it's a conference, and we had a booth there. There was a Windows Azure booth. I don't think we actually had any talks, but we had a presence there at the booth. And the team who was going to be there and kind of staffing the booth wanted a demo app that they could show. And it's a Java focused conference. I think they say it's the world's largest independent Java conference, is I think how they build this thing. And so so I put together an app that is running Java in Windows Azure and doing this, and it's actually the there's that was my presence at the conference, was Virtual Steve Says Hello. And so it's built using Scala and the Play framework.
Mm-hmm.
So Scala is, you know, a language that runs on the JVM, and the Play framework is a kind of cool MVC framework built on top of Scala that actually borrows some syntax and stuff from Razor and ASP.NET MVC, so it actually felt fairly familiar to me. It's pretty cool. So I wrote a blog post about it, and the whole source code is on GitHub. But this was kind of you know, I like to do weird things in demos, and this mm-hmm. one was one where I got to, you know,
play with some new stuff.
A framework I'd never used before, a language that I'd never written any code in before, and kind of just do a Java thing on Windows yeah. Azure, just to show people, you know, kind of the breadth of...
Yeah. And so you're pulling it, basically you're pulling from a feed, but you're just running, the app
actual,
itself is running
right,
on...
Right, the actual content of the app is, yeah, it's pulling, there's an API yep. for the schedule for that conference, and then, yeah, it's just it's very simple, it's not a lot of code and whatever, but it's neat. So if you wanted to learn about Scala and Play framework, that might be decent code to read, but yep. really, I think... You know, the reason I wanted to do it is just to show people, again, as I keep coming back to, that Windows Azure is a lot more general purpose than people often realize. And so, no, there's no reason you can't run Scala and Play framework and the JVM in Windows Azure, just like you can run anything else. So, that's a kind of cool one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I'm a big fan of that one.
I like this one.
This is by far the most useful and used demo that I've ever built. This is, it's a Netflix pivot, cloudapp.net. And actually came like really early in the. I mean, we built this a long time ago.
Well, at one point, it was also consuming the OData head for that was surfaced
yes.
for Netflix, right?
Yes, which
is it still using?
I think it still is actually.
Okay.
I was thinking about switching off of it, but I think I'm still using the OData feed. I did have to update it because the OData the API changed a little bit and some of the data changed. But yeah, this is actually using OData. So this is pulling the OData feed from Netflix. It's pulling, I think, the top 3,000 titles from Netflix that are available for streaming based on, you know, the user rating of them. And then it pulls all the images of the, you know, of the DVD covers. It does the pivot thing. So
yeah.
this Silverlight kind of pivot viewer. And so it's actually creating, like, a deep zoom... deep zoom tiles out of this and whatever. And so it's doing all that in a worker role, and then there's a web role that really does very little. The web role just serves up a little Silverlight zap And then all the content is on the CDN. So it's all static content, blob storage, all the images and whatever, and served up over the CDN. So it's kind of cool. It's actually, I mean, in its use of Windows Azure, it's just, it's the sort of straightforward web role, worker role pattern. Mm-hmm. The worker role is just continuously pulling the catalog and updating this. And the web role is just serving up basically static content. All the content's really coming out of the CDN. So it's a little bit basic there, but it's a cool example of, you know, just something
just
you can build, and
it
is really fun to play with. And really, this is how I find movies to watch on Netflix. I mean, it's a lot easier than browsing Netflix itself. So yeah, you do all sorts of
there
cool stuff.
Go.
There you go. Now you found the two perfect movies for you:
action comedy and with the highest
with rating over 3.
Stir Crazy and Gumless.
Yep.
Great.
done. So Wade has just demonstrated how to find great movies. So yeah, and there's a blog post about it. Yeah, actually, if
learn
you click at the bottom,
built.
Learn how it was built. It takes you to a blog post that I did about it when it first came out. I think probably at the bottom, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, yeah, there's an update. There were a couple updates where I'm fixing the source code, and it was in a zip file and whatever.
Well,
I finally put it
GitHub.
On the GitHub. Yeah. So now the source code is always there on GitHub.
Nice.
Happy to take pull requests on that and whatever, and we're going to keep that running. So
great.
It should be there. And here's Charlie St. Cloud for no apparent reason. Oh, the yodel thing is still there, huh?
Was this the whole show?
No, it's only a minute long clip. So it's actually,
Hi,
is just the beginning.
Steve, I did about that. There's some things you heard. Yeah,
I don't see the yodeling.
There is many talents.
Yeah, there is yodeling again, but it's only the very beginning of this segment because it's just the first
minute-long
clip.
Because it was good yodeling.
Okay, well that can be done. Anyway, the point of this is not about the yodeling. I'm so scared because every time I missed a cloud cover, there was mockery of me, like that one week while I was gone. Yeah, of my yodeling ability. Thank you. And so now I'm gonna be permanently absent from the show, and that's gonna kind of be scary.
We're never gonna talk about you again.
Yeah, sure. All right. I hope so. This demo is basically pulling videos from blob storage, mm-hmm. and presenting some sort of nice UI that you can click on things and pull them up, and then it's playing them. It's smooth streaming playing these things, and so it's actually using this feature of the CDN that is currently in a private CTP. Mm-hmm. So you can't go and sign up for this just yet, but there are people testing it out and have been for a while.
Okay.
That does that, where the CDN just becomes a smooth streaming endpoint over. Right. So you just put the video in blob storage, and then the CDN takes care of serving that via smooth streaming.
And you can see, I mean, I've been jumping around here.
Yep.
And how responsive it is to.
Yep, and you should see it very quickly snap to where you are, and then the quality improves as it
yep.
as it goes, because it tries to stream it as fast as it can, and then depending on your bandwidth, it'll give you higher bit rates and whatever. Smooth streaming is awesome. It's very cool that's coming to Windows Azure and is going to be part of the CDN. So this was a demo that I built for I think it was Streaming Media West, the conference that we were talking about this at. And so this is a pretty simple app that just sort of does that. I am about to publish all the source code for this. By the time you see this video,
you're going to update
there
this
will
then
be,
so that there's a nice link to it?
Maybe.
Okay.
I could do that.
Good.
Yeah, so I could do that so people can find it. So it's going to be up on GitHub. There was another piece of this, which is that for the actual demo we did, I also built a publishing plugin for Expression Encoder that I've done this twice. I did one earlier that actually did pre-chunk, that basically turned smooth streaming stuff into stuff you could just statically serve, because at the time we didn't have the ability in the CDN mm-hmm. to do the smooth streaming stuff. I've built another plugin for Expression Encoder that just copies the raw thing up there. So if you are using, if you have your CDN account enabled, you're part of that private CTP and whatever, this is a way that you can just check a box in Expression and put in your account and key, and it'll just upload things at the end.
Nice.
And that's also on GitHub under my account too. So github.com/smarks has all that stuff.
Cool.
So yeah, that's kind of neat. What else do we have? Two Englishes. Did we ever show this?
I don't
on the
think
show?
So. So this is a fun. This is a fun one.
Yeah. Try typing something like the gray truck. Yeah, and see, at the, on the other side, it says this gray lorry, and it spells gray that weird it's British wrong. Way. Totally wrong. No, it doesn't
oh, I thought,
trunk.
I thought trunk was boot.
Yeah, but see, then you run into this problem. This is what everyone does with this act. They go, okay. Trunk, oh, but it didn't go boot. And they go, well, what if you wrote the elephant had a really big boot? Right, see, it doesn't always... So I only took the ones that are like 100% you can
gotcha.
Always
okay.
translate it. You could put aluminum. That's one of my favorite ones. It's hard to spot sometimes, but it's aluminium
nice.
In the British English. So anyway, this is doing English-to-English translation. It's doing, yeah, you can type on either side, and it does American English to British English or vice versa. And
this was really useful because we were in England recently, and yeah. know, we didn't know what these people were saying.
That's the, I mean, if you don't speak the language, it's just it's really hard to communicate. And so, yeah, I used this in a talk that I gave in London as a way so I could communicate with yeah. the audience. Yeah. This is a Node.js app.
Yep.
It is using Traffic Manager to actually, it's a Node.js app running in two different data centers, one in North America and one in Europe. Depending on where you are, you'll get routed to whichever one is closest. That's important because it does this translation in like the most idiotic way in the world, which is that every time you press a key, it sends the entire text of everything you've written up to the cloud, does regular expressions to replace things, and then sends the whole thing back down again. And so you actually notice the latency. I've tested it, and if you go across the pond and mm-hmm. And hit the wrong data center,
yep.
You'll actually be able to, you can kind of see as you're typing, you'll actually notice the delay. It's an extra 100 milliseconds maybe, mm-hmm. but that's enough that you can kind of notice it. So it was a thin excuse to use Traffic Manager. It's using CDN to serve up those high-resolution flags in the background, and it's Node.js running that's just doing, it's a very simple app, and it's just a simple
if I recall, too, you've got a very simple structure for the translation from one English yep. to another. And didn't you also do a like real-time update of it? You did a git commit.
I did, right.
That back, yep. so
that's
you,
right.
You had the ability to just add additional yep. translations.
This was before we released any of our mm-hmm. support for Node.js native, and so this is just, I just built it myself. With, yep. And so I have a project on GitHub called Node Role. Okay. Which I think I used for this, which basically just does polling from a Git repository or from a blob storage container, and so you can push the content there whenever you want, and it always pulls down the latest and kind of restarts the app and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Now you could do that in a probably a smarter way using the SDK we shipped and whatever, but it's there. This is also, if you go to github.com/marks, I forget the name of the repository, but
it's up there.
Node Role is there, and the English to English, or two Englishes, I keep calling it
English to English.
English to English, because that's what
it
I thought it was going
to
be called
until
I couldn't get that domain, so twoenglishes.com is what I managed to get. So, as you pointed out, for the other thing, I should probably have a link somewhere on here that links to the source code. I'll try to do that.
You've got a couple more days.
But you can find it, that's true, I do.
Cool, that's great. All right, our last one. This is one of my favorite ones. Let me turn the sound on.
Everyone's been a big fan of this.
Have you lost weight?
Well, yeah, I have. Thanks for noticing.
Thanks for noticing.
In case I haven't mentioned it lately, you rock.
So, just so everyone knows, this is how I'm going to deal and cope with your absence. Like,
yeah.
Whenever I...
That's what I'm recommending to everyone.
Yes. If I need to hear your voice, and if I just need to feel better about myself.
Yeah.
Lobster-like tenacity.
What would make you feel better than hearing that you have lobster-like tenacity?
Not much.
You're the Dalai Lama of breakdancing.
Now I think you're just kidding me a little bit. So this is a fun application.
This is a Windows Azure app. It's an ASP.NET MVC app. Blob storage for the MP3s and.
Yep.
And Odd Vorbis, I think. I forget which. I maybe WAV files also. You have the audio tag, the HTML5 audio tag gives you a way to play audio, but every browser has different file formats that they'll accept and whatever, and so I think it ended up at least two different file formats so that it would work cross-browser. And yes, you can hit the suggest a compliment button at the bottom and submit your own compliment. I have an admin password where I get to go through and and approve or not those things and record audio. If you record your own
those
audio,
are actually, if you hadn't noticed, it's actually, it's your voice. I didn't catch it at first because the production quality was so
A lot of people,
amazing.
I bought like a really fancy microphone for it and everything, and so a lot of people have not caught on right away that it's, but all of them are me.
One other thing that's interesting is if you go back to build, you gave a talk on Windows 8 and Windows Azure.
And that's really why I built this.
Yes. Well, because you built this first as just an HTML app running in Windows Azure, but then what you did is you also built a Metro-styled HTML app and showed how easy it would be to build a native experience in Windows 8.
It was, it was remarkably easy, right? It felt wrong to do a Metro-style app and have rounded corners and drop shadows, so I took those out and made everything square, because that's my understanding of Metro design.
I've been told that Metro is more than just squares and boxes. And
I've heard that rumor, but... So it was actually really easy to do, and then it used the same backend. It still needed a server in the backend to serve up the complements and sort of point to blob storage for the audio. But otherwise, one way you can build Metro-style apps in Windows 8 is to just do HTML and JavaScript, and so I was able to basically take the same code here, including the first draft of it. I also just used jQuery. I think then I got rid of it because it turned out I didn't really need it for much, but you can just use jQuery in your client apps. It's kind of cool. So, yeah, you can go back and watch that talk. You can't watch the most fun part of that talk, which was the first, like, before the talk actually started, just when people were kind of filtering into the room and whatever, I sort of built the thing up from scratch kind of before the talk. And so it was just sort of typing a line at a time, and it was sort of gradually coming together. And that was actually, that was a lot of fun. And then by the time the talk started, we had all the code.
And that wasn't purposeful. But, that's just because you were kind of lazy.
Because I hadn't built a demo yet, right? And so I had those 5 minutes before the talk, and I did it.
Cool.
So yeah, this is good. So anyone who feels withdrawal symptoms, if you haven't heard my voice in a little while, you can always go to flatterist.com.
You lost weight.
And hear me ask.
Keep pointing this out.
Yeah, well,
you are one of my favorite people in the world.
You really are, Wade.
Let's,
you are one of my favorite people in the world.
All right, so it's that time of the show.
Yes.
It's the moments before the tip of the week. And as earlier, Bob and I have been in cahoots.
Uh-huh.
And this tip of the week, what we decided to do is... we actually reached out to Wen Ming Yi and said, you know what, there's a lot of information about Steve out on the web. He's got a blog, he's in a lot of videos, presentations, and we figured we could turn this into a big data problem where we could say, let's go out and basically crawl all this data and figure out where Steve will be in the next 5 years, and with little glimpses along the way. So this tip of the week is really a look forward at your future. And so in case you're curious about where
it's probably really accurate,
I'm sure it is.
With all that data, I mean, I'm sure
there's a lot. Yeah.
I'm sure we've spent the past 2 weeks with 1,000 nodes in Windows Azure crunching and predicting. And,
we've used all the spare capacity.
If you've seen Wen Ming's weather predictions, he knows
the man
how to
knows
get
the
right predictions, right? Yeah. So,
And you're nothing more than just
a
slightly different weather problem.
Exactly. That's what people tell me all the time.
All right. So with that, here is a very special tip of the week.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you...
Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
We have an awesome show. We have to... What adjectives...
All right, and we're back. I bet she didn't see that coming.
A touching tale of dark things to come.
Yes, yes. All right, so...
I still haven't seen it. It's really...
You're letting all the secrets out, man. All right, so...
Everybody at home assumes that we already have those things in place before the... But we don't. Like, we see them, usually late Thursday night before the show goes out.
This is how much trust we have in Bob, to be quite honest.
Yeah, which is really dumb. Which... No, Bob has always been good to us, so we have reason to trust him.
So tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
What I'm going to show is, we've talked about phone and in cloud multiple times. And I've even showed some of the tools for leveraging the access control service on the phone. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I've never done is tied it back to a service. So for instance, we've shown how you can log in on the phone and basically use the different identity providers with the access control service and get a simple web token, basically an OAuth token back into the phone. Yep. But we've typically just stopped there.
Yep.
And that's really only half the picture. And so what I wanted to do is talk through the next step, which is, all right, now I've got a token and I want to call out to a service. Well, what do I do? How do I exchange the token, send it to the service, and then do something on the service side to validate the token and really make sure that the person making the request to the service is authorized and, you know, authorized to do that.
I always just send some text that says, my name is Steve, and then on the server I just parse that out, get Steve
it
out
says
of it,
Steve, and
it go,
must be
all right,
good. Yeah.
That's the username.
All right. Well, we're gonna go, it's a little
not
bit more
enough.
Complex than
okay,
this
all right.
here. So basically, what I'm going to do first is show you the API that we have. And I'm using the WCF Web APIs, Preview 6, I believe, is the most recent one. And if you want to get it, the easiest way is just to use NuGet and grab this webapi.all, and it'll pull down everything you need to get going. The other thing that I've used is webapi.oauth. And the reason for this is, parsing the token is not rocket science, but there's some complexity to it, and making sure you get the appropriate information out of it. And I'll put a breakpoint in so we can look at the token in a moment. But the other thing is as part of this webapi.oauth, we provide a handler that makes it really easy to intercept the request as the request comes up to the service, and do that basically parse the token that comes in. And so if you're familiar with web APIs, you create a route, and you'll see here we've got a service route. Here's the URL, so I'll call, you know, whatever /API/contacts to reach out to the service. And then you pass in some configuration information, type of contacts API. Now for the config, what we're doing is we're adding a message handler. And this OAuth authentication handler is part of the webapi.oauth. It's open sourced up on GitHub, so you can take a look at the source. But really it's just parsing and handling the simple web token that comes in. Now, the API itself is very, very simple. With the web API, basically I'm just doing a GET against, you know, a URI, and I want to get back, in this case, I'm just sending back a list of contacts, right?
So you've already removed me from your contact list, Wade. Jeez.
There.
You're missing a comma. After Wenming.
Oh, thanks. What would I do without you?
We'll find out.
Yeah. So essentially what'll happen is the handler is going to intercept the request, parse out the token, so that here in my service call, I can extract the token out of the request and out of the properties in the request, turn it into a claims principle, and then, you know, as with the principle, I can go say identity, you know, take a look at the name, is authenticated, all of these different things to figure out whether or not I should actually return any results.
Right, so you've separated the like actual handling and understanding of OAuth and to this layer.
To this library,
right?
Yeah.
And then by the time you actually get to your method, you have the information about it.
You've got a principal object, you can choose to use it however
That's
you want
cool.
to. So, and then basically if, you know, the reason we also pass in, call to this is authenticated method is really just to handle if the object never gets set because there is no claims principle,
right.
And then we can just throw an unauthorized exception, and then that way people know they're not authorized to hit the API.
Cool.
So that's the service. Now from the phone side, what I want to point out is we're using the phone.identity.accesscontrol NuGet packages, so you can just grab that, and then if you want to just have a quick start to the login page and those resources and handling the token exchange, you can grab this base page as well. We've covered this in previous shows. It's pretty straightforward. The main resources you're going to get is this login page, and then you're going to have to also set some resources. So in resources, I specify my namespace and my relying party up in, or the realm or the relying parties in the access control service. And once that's set, I have a button click event so that when I click a query button, it calls out to our service. And you can see that what I need to do is here's the URL that we're gonna call. And I'm adding a header, I'm adding an authorization header with OAuth as part of the data, and then I'm attaching the raw token mm-hmm. that I get back from the access control service to it. And that's basically the handoff to the web API service so that it can get the token. So, clear?
Cool,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a look. So, we'll run it. So again, it's running up in a web role. One thing that's actually really nice, I don't know if people do this a lot, is lately I've been starting just by building an MVC3 app, and I've been using IIS Express. I mean, if you don't have IIS Express installed, it's really nice. And I've been doing a lot of the development just starting from there. And then when I'm ready to try it out in Windows Azure, I'll right click, you know, say add Windows Azure project, and then I can start running it from Windows Azure. So it's a nice gradual way to get going there. So I've got the service running, and let me start the phone app. And so this is, you know, the login. So this is, there's the IDPs coming back from the ACS management service. I choose Google.
IDP.
Oh, it looks like, I'm sorry.
Identity providers.
IDP identity providers, sorry. It cached my login.
You're already logged in.
Yeah, sorry.
So imagine we just type in a username and password.
And I can prove it. So when I click the button here, you can see that I actually have a simple web token. You know, here's a bunch of the different, here's the audience, you know, the basically the realm that we're calling to. There are a bunch of claims that have come back, so you can go through the claims. What we want is just the raw token. And so you can see here, the raw token is just a bunch of, you know, information that comes back.
Yep.
Says stuff about, like, it includes some of the individual claims and so forth. So we're going to take that raw token and add it to the authorization header, and then we're just going to basically fire and make a request. And then it comes back. It occurs to me I should have set a breakpoint in the context API as well. So let me do that again real quick.
And we can do it again.
All right. Add that. And it didn't break. Well, that was interesting. Okay. Well, I don't. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's not. Basically,
people can imagine what would be there, right? That principle would include.
Exactly. If you look at the identity on top of the principle, it'll say is authenticated is true. For the identity, it'll actually use the name claim that comes back from the access control service. So in this case, it would have been DPE demo. It's a very, very easy way to go about securing your web APIs running up in Windows Azure and using the OAuth token that comes back from ACS. So. And I have a tutorial on this as well that I'll link to in case you want to go in a lot more depth. So,
cool. Great. Okay. Well, one thing you said during that was you said, Steve, what would I do without you?
What would I do without
And that's
you?
Actually something that people have asked on Twitter and whatever that we
What's
should probably
next for
address.
Cloud Cover?
Which is right. So I'm not going to be on Cloud Cover anymore. So the whole thing's done. There's no more. Yeah. This cloud thing's over. Everybody can just go home. No. Cloud Cover is going to go on and continue to be an awesome show and the best source to learn about Windows Azure on a weekly basis in video.
Yep.
I don't want to be too general with
this. We'll attempt to be weekly.
So what's going to happen?
So we've actually been extensively interviewing candidates. I mean, we did a call out. We've been doing studio screenings, bringing in dozens of people.
It was kind of, if you've ever watched like The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Wade was the Bachelorette, and he's just been giving roses to people and whatever.
And we finally got down to the last rose.
And we got back to the last rose. And
why don't we just bring out our
live our, on Cloud Cover?
Bring out our new co-host.
Let's do it.
All right. All right. So you guys may recognize this gentleman right here. The David Akin.
The David Akin. Mr. The to you guys.
Yeah, Mr. The.
Well, to you, not to you. It's just gone.
Wouldn't it be Mr. David Akin? Isn't The like your first name?
Yeah, Miss. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. David Akin.
That's it. All right. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board and find somebody new.
I've never been called a rose before.
No? Well, we didn't call you a rose. We
gave you a rose. Where's the rose? Oh. You're supposed to bring it.
I had it.
It's really close to Valentine's Day and no roses
My
were available.
My wife is getting
there you go.
So you guys, I mean, I think most
we'll
people probably
remember
know.
David. He's been.
You were in
I
a
think
couple
I came
of shows
on show on the two because you.
Yes, the very the
out.
Second show. You yeah. go way back yeah. and watch the very second episode of Cloud Cover. That was David's first appearance on the show. What a lot of people don't know is this show was your idea.
It was, yes.
Right. So at the time, David had basically the job that Wade has now.
Yes.
And Ryan was reporting to you.
That's right.
Right. And so David was what the first Windows Azure evangelist ever. And then Ryan jumped in. That was my fault?
Because I came and talked to you, and you said you should do this, this Red Dog thing.
Yeah.
And then I did the Red Dog thing.
It's my fault, really.
Yeah, it's your fault, but...
So we got David in really early, and it was actually his idea for us to do a show, and he was kind enough to volunteer Ryan and me to do it. And now,
as
finally, it's come back.
As a good manager to do is delegate that out.
That's right. It's come back to bite him, and now you've got to be part of the show.
This is episode 65?
I think this is episode 70.
70?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a lot of episodes.
That's a lot of episodes.
I have one interesting anecdote as well. So David is the reason I'm even up here in a corp role. And this is a fun story because David hired
Nobody needs to know this.
David hired me when he was still in...
And then by the time you...
And by the time I actually started the job, he had left. So
then I found out more about him.
And he's like, forget this.
It's like, well, it's too late to not let him come up here. So I'll... Yeah, so David has a deep connection with Windows Azure and with this show already, and so
and
he should fit right in.
And the other thing, we realized we needed to increase the average height of the host of the show.
Yeah, absolutely, so especially with Scott and Mark coming
on the
show a lot.
I know, it's been difficult.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, good, we took care of that.
Yep. So we're thrilled, I mean, that David's coming. We're not thrilled to see Steve go, but we'll be good.
No, it'll be sad to see you go.
Yeah, well...
We'll bring you back once more. You're staying in the area.
I'm in the area, so I'm only like 10 minutes away from here, so if you guys never see me again, it's because they just didn't invite me back.
We call them up randomly close. And have them kind of show up on the screen.
We'll do some Skype.
Just do, something like that.
All right, well, do you want to end the show, as always?
Sure. So if you want to interact with the show, you can tweet to @CloudCoverShow, suggest things, etc., complain about the choice of a new co-host, whatever you want. If you want to keep in touch with me, just type Smarks in anywhere, and you'll get my blog is still smarks.com, my email address is smarks@smarks.com, my Twitter username is Smarks.
GitHub login.
And of course, you've got @TheDavidAgan and @WadeWagner. Until next time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your contributions.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.